During a break in the annual science meeting that I was covering in southern Peru, I caught up with Greg Asner. He's a tropical ecologist from the Carnegie Institute of Science at Stanford University. Asner explained why so little is known about the impact of rising temperatures on tropical forests compared to the impact of global warming at the poles.
Tropical regions have been mostly inaccessible to science, whether it's on the ground or going over difficult terrain or through rough jungle. It's famously difficult to access.
As we've heard earlier in this series, tropical biologists such as Miles Silman of Wake Forest University and his international colleagues with the Andes Biodiversity and Ecosystem Research Group have been penetrating those remote jungles in the Amazon basin for some 20 years. Their research on the ground makes up much of what science knows about how tropical forests are coping with rising temperatures. Asner's been augmenting that research from the skies. His team flies the Carnegie Airborne Observatory over Peru's vast tropical forests. The light plane is tricked out with laser technology that creates a computerized picture of the jungles and helps estimate how much carbon from greenhouse gases is stored in the trunks, limbs, and roots of individual trees. To a country like Peru, that stored carbon could one day be as valuable as the oil buried underground. That's the hope, anyway. Ken Feely, a tropical biologist at Florida International University, explains the concept.
Developed countries that want to continue emitting carbon will pay developing countries to not cut down their forest, and they'll kind of offset their carbon emissions. You know, a lot of people think this is a win-win situation because you're reducing net carbon emissions and you're reducing deforestation at the same time.
The United Nations has been promoting this concept of carbon offsets since 2009, but it's been slow to catch on. Ecuador, for example, asked the international community for $3.6 billion to preserve some 4,000 square miles of rainforest. But after 6 years, there were virtually no international investors. So Ecuador plans to drill in that rainforest instead for the oil that's there, mainly because China appears eager to buy it. Still, Asner is undaunted. He says world environmental leaders continue to talk.
In Colombia, Ecuador, Peru, and Panama, and so forth. But also I see it in other groups working around the planet, whether it's Indonesia or Africa or whatever. There's new emphasis on investing in the ministry, environment ministries in these different countries, and in the landowners themselves who have an effect on how stable these ecosystems are over time. How much does it take to get a landowner to switch from that source of funding to carbon?
The questions in the United States tend to be more simplistic, like, is global warming real? Are human forces the cause of it? The tropical biologists I followed in Peru asked tough questions of themselves in their research findings, but they have no doubt that the Earth is warming too fast and that there's no time to lose in dealing with that fact on an international scale. But there are tall barriers. For example, the world's biggest emitters of greenhouse gases, the United States and China, continue to take only modest steps to curb those emissions. Skeptics say, we still don't know enough, or we don't know exactly what to do. I pressed Miles Silman with those questions one afternoon deep in the Amazonian jungle.
There are many moving parts, but that doesn't mean we don't know what levers to press. We do know what levers to press. You keep the temperature from going too high, you keep large tracts of forest, and you keep the animals in the forest that make a forest rather than a bunch of trees.
Why?
We're done. We walk away.
Why? Why do we need to do that?
Ah, yeah. So that we have an Earth that has the same kinds of ecosystem services and biodiversity and the ability to explore new drugs and agriculture and things like that we've had throughout our civilization. If not, we move the world into a state that, you know, we've never experienced before. And we have enormous negative consequences for people on the planet.
In more than 2 weeks in Peru, reporting on the most ominous story in my 30 years as a journalist, I asked every scientist I interviewed if they had hope. Of Miles Silman, I spun the question differently. Has global warming advanced too much for us to slow down or reverse its worst effects?
No. And even if we were, right, the only chance you have, if you're a pilot, you fly it into the ground because you just might pull it out.
To wrap up this series, Miles Silman joins me and Audrey Fannin for a discussion in the studio. For WFDD News, this is Justin Catanoso.